We on? It's 6:04 on January 25th. I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order. First order of business is a roll call. Fowler?
Here.
Gingrich? He's not here. Mooney?
Here.
Horn is excused. Fredericks?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Rock? Here. Next item on our agenda is to modify and or adopt our agenda for tonight. Any changes that we know of? Are we okay, Trevor?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to approve.
Motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 3, approve minutes from November 30th, 2016 meeting. Any comments or observations or changes to those minutes? If there are none, then I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
We have a motion.
I'll second the motion.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Item number 4, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements?
Yeah, I have one. Well, actually, I have two. The first one, just an update on the project for the Miramar District. It's my understanding they're near completion, they're ready to submit to the state, and then after that, we'll just do a waiting game. But last I spoke with them, they're doing some final edits on the project before they submitted, and then I guess we're going to estimated time about 6 months to hear back from the state. So, been a while.
In that process, they don't return it to the village for review before they, when they're ready, they just submit it, right?
Right.
We don't need to, there's no reason for us to go right through that process.
I'll certainly forward it out to you as soon as I receive it.
Okay.
We can discuss it at community level. I know as a formality, because it's not always the case that that a village will apply for a district or for an individual listing. So as a formality, the state will reach out to us and ask for our approval whenever it's on their docket to review. So I'll comment that too.
Thank you.
And the second thing, I was just past 2 years, the village has been working on codification of our ordinances, something that hasn't been done, and I'm not sure if I brought it to the committee's attention before, but really what it is over the years, there develops a lot of inconsistencies when the ordinances get amended. Or state statutes get changed, and you know, all the reference numbers get messed up. And, so for the past 2 years, we've been working with a consultant, General Code, and we've reviewed all the ordinances. Hopefully you found all the bugs as far as inconsistencies or dead links. And this will be going to the village board for approval on February 7th. In addition to all that, there's also the online component, which will make it a lot easier for residents to search for certain things. Historic preservation was old chapter 424. It is now new chapter 248. And you can click on it. What's cool about it, say you wanted to email someone procedures. All you'd have to do is click on procedures and share. And there should be an email button on there. I don't know where that's at. But. Or you could just print the one section too. You can also search the whole historic preservation chapter by going to search selected. Or you can go to this search bar and search all ordinances. So, say for example, you had a question about fences or something like that. You could type in fences and it bring up all the references of fences. So, just something that makes it a lot easier to, for residents to access. So, I just thought I'd share that with you just as general information.
So, Trevor, is this currently available or?
This is
proposed for some time in the future?
Currently, it's on the website under a news item.
Okay.
However, eventually it'll replace codes and policies.
It'll be in the main menu.
Because right now, all that's in there, we have everything listed in there, but it's all in PDF documents and separated by chapters, so it makes it very difficult to search a lot of. So just something, just an FYI.
Any other announcements, or the status of the Robinson Hill and the Minahan House hasn't really, nothing new has been added to that. The timetable, right? It's still, where are we? We're waiting for grant money.
Right. We should hear back next month. Like February, early March at the latest. So, yeah.
So far as no news is good news, are we?
I hope so.
Yeah, we don't know anything other than it's moving forward.
Great.
Great, thank you. Any announcements from the committee? Oh, okay. We'll move on to item number 5, public appearances. Anybody wishing to speak, come forward and state your name and address for the record. Jim.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee. And something very important that this group did that's impacting the Bike Ped plan is that the Sunset Park Historic District was designated a historic district by the state. And that triggered what's called a Section 106 study for the Highway 57. Reconstruction, and they moved the crossing that we had wanted in one location away from the Sunset Park Historic District to the south, so it wasn't touching any of the historic properties. So that's what a Section 106 study does, is it protects properties, but in protecting it, you then had an impact on a different property owner who's going to lose some of his property. Okay, so I don't think that the Sunset Park Historic District meets the minimum standards for a historic district as set by the federal government, and I'd like to see that removed as a historic district from the village. So the Lombardi House is a great house. The house itself is historic, but the neighborhood doesn't count. There's nothing special about it. It's a nice neighborhood built in the 60s and 70s and 80s, but it's not historic by any means. There's other neighborhoods in Sunlight Park that are much better. So it doesn't meet the minimum requirements. The Section 106 study then wouldn't be impacted, and the crossing should have been put to the north a little bit, close where it can be used by people going from Sunset Park to Sunlight Park. There's on Breyer, the neighbors are all opposed to more bikes cutting through their lawns to get to the trail, and there's a trail in Sunset Park. So that's that. Also, with the new ordinance going to be rewritten, this would be a perfect time to modify the mandatory compliance with the certificate of appropriateness that is currently in the village ordinance, and compliance with the certificate of appropriateness should be toned down to more of a voluntary instead of a mandatory compliance. I don't think anybody on this board wants to get into a pissing match with neighbors saying that they can't put a different style window on their house. You can give suggestions, and there's ways that neighborhoods do it. That isn't as heavy-handed as ours. Ours is probably the most strict in the state. We followed what the state wanted to do, and very few other communities do it this way. So we should have it, tone it down, give them guidance on what is historic and what would be appropriate, but in the end, it should be their choice. That's the way that City of Green Bay has it. They give suggestions, but in the end, it's the homeowner's choice.
I guess we'll move on to item number 6, action regarding approval of landmarks and historic preservation chapter of the village ordinances. Trevor, do you want to start us off?
Sure, and I can bring it up too. At the suggestion of Jim Urich, Howard and I at the last meeting brought the ordinance forward because Mr. Urich found pointed out some issues with the ordinance that should be brought to our attention. So I think, judging by the discussion we had at the last meeting, I think a lot of the issue can be fixed by just removing state or national register the wording from a few spots throughout the ordinance. I already spoke with Wisconsin Historical Society and asked if that would ruin our certified local government status, and they said no, we could remove that and it would be totally fine. I provided some other, and I apologize for that, for the late email yesterday. Thanks, Cecile, for reminding me. Totally forgot to send those out, and so I can understand.
Thought I missed them. I was going to start going back through all my emails. Which one had that attachment that I didn't see?
You know, Tara, my question is, what areas does this chapter really apply to right now?
Right now, I think the only local designation there is in the village is one in Heritage Hill.
Okay. So that would be the only one that falls under this.
Right.
So if we remove the state and national, then who would ever want to come under this ordinance or this chapter? I don't think anyone would ever. You know, because
right.
Like Jim had brought, it's too restrictive. You know, that you have to apply for a certificate of appropriateness, whereas if you're under the state or the national, you're not doing that. I mean, once those areas are designated, it sounds like, you know, as long as they stay in line with what, that they, there's no, you know, I mean, who's ever going to oversee whether there's new additions or if there's any type of new construction that would destroy the historic, you know, features of the home. So if no one's overseeing that, why would anyone ever want to come under this chapter? You would just go the other way.
Right.
Unless you had, like, that just one, you know, something like Village Hall or something that no one really cares about.
Say a district.
Everybody
cares. Yeah. Say a district wanted to preserve their neighborhood. They might
But if you could do it the other way, through the state, why would you do it this way?
But through the state, there's no mandatory requirements, only if you want the tax credits.
This
would be a mandatory thing if a district wanted it, or if the village wanted it. This is really
not
used very often at all, but it's one of those things that we have to have in order to maintain that COG status.
Yeah. See, the only question I had is when we had gotten this little outline as to how does my community become a CLG. The first one was assurance that the local government enforces appropriate state and local legislation for the designated protection of historic properties and will coordinate its activities with the state historic preservation officer. So as long as we're still in compliance, if we remove all the state and national, and it sounds like they're saying remove it.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at Sheboygan and even De Pere, and I think River Falls too, the language is very much the same. Our ordinance is a model language. However, they don't have the state and national register in there. And so that's, I don't know at what point that ever got added in there.
Yeah.
Might have been an oversight on my part, but...
But then I think we should also remove, under definition, national register and state register. But otherwise that gets confusing, because then you don't see it anywhere.
Yeah, since it was struck from all the other paragraphs.
Yeah. Then I don't think we should be defining that, because then we're going back to...
I think the only reason to have that would be if somewhere in here we said under powers and duties, and oh, by the way, an additional duty is that the plan, that the committee works with the State Historical Society and consultants to pursue state and national historic district designation. And if we're not going to say that, maybe that's more clear, because then that means that the only purpose for this document is to establish this committee and to manage locally designated properties and to fulfill the requirements to be designated as a certified local government.
Mm-hmm. If that would ever happen.
Yeah. And not mention anything about it. To your point, we've got it listed as a...
We're defining it.
We're defining it, but it's not...
No, it's not going to be listed.
It's not going to be listed.
Yeah.
And I think that was our original intent for reviewing this was, to Jim's point, there may be a topic of another discussion is how can we soften the wording, such that maybe someone would want to be locally designated. But I think our initial intent was to make sure we didn't confuse what's in here with what folks in our proposed, historic registered districts and homes have heard so far. And I think you did that by striking out all the references to state and national register.
Once you get designated by the state, do they ever check on it again? I don't know.
Like every 30 years or so.
Every 7 years?
30. Oh, dear. I don't know exactly the number, but
yeah.
I know Green Bay's district that was nominated in the 80s was recently just being reevaluated. So.
Okay. And that's a long time. But if you fall under this chapter, it would be a nightmare if someone would always have to look at the Register of Deeds office to find if all these certificates were complied with. And So I don't think individual homes would ever want to be under this chapter.
And to Jim's point, the village does have the authority to go over a homeowner and do it, but at least in my opinion, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there's always the appeal process to the village board, and the village board is elected officials, and I don't know if they're ever going to want to get into something that's very controversial like that. Either, so.
I mean, it could be like a Lombardi home or something if you really wanted to, keep that in the village at the
My concern with changing this wording is that how will there be any reference to what is already designated as a historic district other than just knowledge if we don't say, like maybe or should be as listed by the state or National Register. Just so that there's some public listing of what is defined as a historic district. That would be my only concern. So it's at least in an official list,
mm-hmm.
if it's on their site.
You're saying...
The word or, I'm okay. saying to replace it with as.
Okay.
Or we have to have another area, maybe on a website, maybe in the assessor's office, I'm not sure, that has to have a listing of for future designations so that it's identifiable.
Okay. Would a separate publication work for that?
It would, but then we're maintaining two lists, so... I don't understand why we can't just reference the state list.
You know, the DePere website that you attached for us to look at, you know, had a really nice way of identifying where their historic districts mm-hmm. are. And they had photographs mm-hmm. of some of their homes,
cool.
and they had a little summary of the history and why they were... We could certainly do that and just attach it to, as you know, have it be part of our village website. You know, under historic preservation, another category would be present and future. You know, proposed designations for state and federal. I mean, just a way to publicize what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Not have to do anything else. Just add that. I mean, it sounds easy, but you know, somebody's got to go do it. The other comment I had was trying to separate this from state and national. On the first paragraph here, 424-1, when it says the purpose of this section is to, and then there's A, B, C, D, and if you added another one that says to outline procedures and regulations relating to locally designated properties or districts only. Maybe you wouldn't need the word only, but something to clearly state that everything in this document is related to that, if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How is that worded?
Pardon?
How did you word that, Howard?
I don't know. I can't read my writing. It says...
To outline?
Yeah, I added letter H, you know, in response to the beginning, it says the purpose of this section is to, and I said, outline procedures and regulations relating to locally designated properties or districts.
I think that's in the fourth line. The intent of this ordinance is to create the Village of Alloway Historic Preservation Committee to designate the historic landmarks and establish historic districts and to regulate all historic landmarks and all property within each historic district to preserve the historic mm-hmm. landmarks and property within the district and the character of the district.
That's a long sentence.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, all of that.
As such. Where's our
but nowhere in there does it say local as opposed to... Maybe I'm overthinking it.
But it's for the Village of Alloway, so
yeah.
that's kind of
yeah.
implied.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as long as we understand, because you know, anyone could read this and question, and make sure that we understand how to interpret what we've written.
But I guess I'm not clear. Are we saying that anything on the state or national register comes under this chapter or does not?
It doesn't unless the village would think it needs to.
confusing to me.
The only part that
how it's worded before is it automatically did, and then now it leaves it up open. So, say for example, the a resident, just for example, the Brewskis on Webster Avenue want to locally designate their property.
Right.
They could then.
They could.
Yes.
Locally.
So they could locally, in addition to having it listed on the National Register.
But why would you do that?
It would be a personal preference, I guess.
But you get no benefit from the village, right?
Right. I mean, down the road you can know you have a peace of mind that after you sell that home, that it's going to be maintained, and all the work you put into it is going to be maintained.
I would think that would be a drawback, because then you have to apply for their certificate of appropriateness.
Might scare somebody away, the buyer.
I mean, that's up to the property owner.
Yeah. But at least it's an option. It's not required. It's just, and we've made it an option rather than a requirement by the edits that you did, I think.
But then maybe it should be clear that if it's designated state or national, that this isn't mandatory. I mean, I think it has to be clear, because if I had someone reading this, they wouldn't know. And they were within the historic district.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question would be, does this apply or not?
Yeah, the same concern. I think they'd, they'd think that if it was meant for them.
Yeah.
I mean, we know otherwise, because we've been studying and reading it, and other people might not. And so.
And you wouldn't want, you may not be here, we may not be here, someone else in the future saying, yes, this does apply. So now somebody's stuck, because they need a certificate of appropriateness.
Yeah,
because
we're not here, and then the new people might say, well, if it's what it says, I guess you've got to do it, because there's no continuity, there's no, you know, because
unless
for some reason we all leave.
Right.
Yeah, I'm concerned that we're not clear enough in stating that it does not apply if not wanted, does not apply to properties that are state or nationally recognized. It doesn't have to apply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a way to put that in here. Because I started scribbling things, you know, kind of like what we've been talking about, and I quit because I couldn't think of the right words. But I think we kind of know, I think, what we're trying to get at. But anybody else have a...
Unless in that definition of state and national register, you say do not automatically qualify for this ordinance unless designated through section blah, 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 whatever that section number is.
Maybe a good way about going, I would think.
Because and that might be a question for the attorney, even though you don't necessarily know law, you wouldn't necessarily have the state and national terms used throughout the document, but the definition's there to maybe provide some clarity, you know, what to help with the confusion. Because you can define it however you want,
right.
Really. I don't know if that would help with the concern.
I just think there needs to be, like, clarification that if a particular home is on the state registry, that this chapter automatically applies or it doesn't apply.
So maybe
or national registry.
Something like the definition, keeping that definition in here, and then at the end just saying does not automatically apply to
historic districts that have been listed by the state or national register?
Well, the definitions aren't the ordinances. I don't think that's where you need to make the changes. It's in the actual ordinances. So maybe the -4 section or the -5 powers and duties section. In the definitions, I don't think that's where I mean, that's just the definition. So the or is entirely appropriate.
You mean under B?
The
424-4
section, the criteria, or 424-5, the powers and duties.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the actual ordinances are.
Right.
Yeah.
Like regulations of construction, reconstruction, alteration, and raising.
Well, maybe it should be under B where it talks about if any property site, as recognized by local designation by the village of Alloway, the committee shall have the authority. And then you go on after that and say, this does not, but can you say that? This does not apply to state, to listings on state or national registers.
I would say it would automatically apply. Right?
Wouldn't automatically apply.
Right.
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
It just means that it could still apply. But it doesn't automatically unless it's designated as such.
Only applies if you want to become locally designated.
Right.
So if you say that.
Then you'd have to say that.
Yeah, say that.
Right.
That if you also choose to be locally designated,
yeah, then
this applies.
The provisions apply. And under A of that one, you can also insert the word local where it says have the power, subject, whatever, to designate historic structures and historic sites and to recommend local designation of historic. Well, maybe not. Because we've... Never mind. That was one thing.
Because I'm thinking the village does not want to have to oversee this Miramar district, right?
Not unless they ever chose to. No.
Yeah.
I just don't want to...
I mean, really, we were created for this reason.
To oversee.
To be a guidance factor in the village. And if you don't want it to apply to districts, I mean, really, why are we here?
I agree. I do agree. So then it should apply, but then we have to keep it in there.
Right. So...
then we should keep in the language the way it is. But that also means that property owners have to come for certificate of appropriateness. Right?
Only if they're ever locally designated.
Yeah. That's the phrase.
I mean, I look at other communities that have this authority in, like the pier, they have the lockkeeper's house as a locally designated structure. There's always a what if that a committee that has very strong ambitions wants to, you know, use the full extent of the ordinance, but I like to think that wouldn't happen very often, and I really don't see this ordinance being used very much. And just looking at examples throughout the state, I don't know that this ordinance really gets used, but it's...
I mean, I agree with Bobby, why are we here then?
Yeah.
In a sense, because
that's the purpose
of the committee.
Yeah, we're here to do all the other things that we've done, which is to
recommend,
you know, and to contract for the intensive survey, and to go through the process of receiving, you know, requesting grant money and getting contractors to prepare our nomination papers, and to designate state and local, you know, state and national register. That's like a whole other subset that's separate from this, because the rules that govern that are in the state statute. And as far as what you can do to keep yourself eligible for that status, you know, if you have a tax, you know, all that's spelled out. We don't have to reinvent that, you know. You can do anything you want to with your home, even if you've got a plaque that says it's on the National Register. Just that if you apply for tax credits, you can't do certain things or you have to give some of it back.
Right.
And it's kind of that simple. And so those words are already out there and can be referenced. You know, any reference to state and national registry should be tied to the State Historical Society guidelines.
Right.
So I don't know if I said anything that helps him. I'll quit talking.
Well, this group was developed after the Chancery came down in 2010. So this group was developed out of that. The village agreed to have this be an entity that promoted historic preservation in the village, so that people just couldn't raise a building in the middle of the night and not tell anybody. So now as we move forward, the intention was to try and, you know, intercede, and if that was the case, so we have these historic districts, if somebody wanted to come in and raise a building, it's got to get alerted to this group or the assessor, or I don't know who signs those permits, but for review, and try and see if we can't come to some agreement with the property owner to try and save those historic places, or at least document them before they come down. Just as a little background for, because I was kind of around from the original.
That's why I'm here. Yeah,
and that's pretty much what this says.
Yeah. So to start changing the
fulfill the original intent of the committee.
Right.
And you know.
Then I don't think we can remove the language.
So, not that part of it. Maybe.
Yeah. Right. Then I don't think there's a reason to remove the language, because if that's the intent, which makes sense.
The village had no ordinances at that time to, you know, intercede or
under this ordinance.
Yeah.
Or this chapter.
Yeah, nothing was locally designated besides Heritage Hill.
Right.
So being here kind of from the beginning, that's just a little history of why we're here.
So then I think the intent is to have that language in here about state and national, because you want to be able to oversee that.
I think we're still a guiding factor. I don't think we're a ruling group. The certificate of appropriateness was a form that kind of said, hey, time out, let's talk about this type of thing. Barb Copperood used to be a member of the committee, and she kind of led that development of the certificate of appropriateness. So in my mind, to fulfill the mission of the group, I think it has to stay. But I mean, we're evolving as we go, so healthy discussion on it is totally appropriate.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about removing the parts that Trevor had edited out that just referenced listing on state or national registers?
I think you would have to keep it in there.
You have to keep.
I think the or leaves it open.
Yeah.
I don't know why taking it out would change anything, because it's in the definitions for one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a change to any procedures or ordinances or.
I think we were concerned that we might have misunderstandings by owners of properties.
Yeah,
that are in,
but
our,
that's how we had Dana come in and talk to everybody, that we were trying to get into these districts,
and we
so that they would understand we're not saying you can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking to be a district so that we can start preserving some of the heritage of this village.
That's a good perspective, because I think we were all thinking that we have to change something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What do we think? Do we want to change anything, or do we want to leave it the way it is?
Well, I completely respect DPR's ordinances, and I know several of the committee members on that preservation, so if they're evolving, I'm totally comfortable following what they're doing. And a couple of their members, I think, are on state historic preservation groups. So they're definitely in the know on what's going on statewide. Just my two cents.
I think by removing it, you're not precluding a property owner that has a national or state register a home from ever being locally designated. But I, in my opinion, how it's worded now, it almost makes it automatically a local designation once it becomes.
But I think if we remove it, then it doesn't go back to your initial intent, which was not to be able to have something that's on a national registry or whatever, be able just to have it taken down.
I mean, you could still locally designate it.
But are you going to go back? Are we going to go back and locally designate these districts? I don't think so.
Not necessarily, but you know, we don't really have any authority over what happens to the homes in these districts, do we?
Not when they're on state or national.
Not when they're. So we really don't have any. You know,
well, for this ordinance, we do.
We can't apply this ordinance to those.
Now you could with this language.
Right, with this language.
Yeah, and that's what we were concerned about, was make it, maybe it's too constrictive or too punitive or too regulatory rather than advisory.
With just striking the state and national register, the committee could always come by after and locally designate it and then have that authority over the district if they ever chose to do that. So it's a difference of it automatically becoming or maybe choosing down the road that maybe this district's falling apart as far as historically. It's not being well-maintained or well-preserved. Maybe we should locally designate it.
Maybe there's some parts of it that we'd like to, some particular properties that we'd like to do what this ordinance was created for, which was to provide some recourse. We have a question or a comment from Jim. Are you okay? Are we okay? Come on up. We should have a motion to suspend the rules so Jim can, so we're following the protocol. So I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules.
I don't know what that is.
Is that okay? A little background on local designation, the way the state wants it done versus the way that the localities actually do it. The official position of the state is they want local designation to protect their assets that are on their list. So they want they're all carrot, local is all stick. So if you start messing with their list, the local guys can beat up the property owners to make them comply and preserve the ones that are on the state and national level. That's all carrot and stick. The local designation is where all of the controversy comes through. All of the controversy is when it gets to the local level. The state will never talk about local designation. They say that's a local thing, but that's where all the problems come in. It's on the local designation. The way that local people have gotten around it, they say, okay, we will have that in our ordinance, but they only designate locally designate properties that aren't on the state register, that don't qualify. So that's what DePere has done, that's what Alloway has done, and then you get access to historic preservation building codes, which are a little bit more lax than the commercial building code. So that's where the advantage is on local designation, is that you get to bypass some of the state building codes because you're historic. Not a lot of them, but a little bit of them. And that's why Heritage Hill asked for the local designation. And that's why DePere, the ones in DePere are properties that don't qualify for the National Register. The Polo Resto House wouldn't qualify because it was picked up and moved and renovated, but they like it, so they designated it as a local landmark. So what the local people are doing is completely different than what the state wants them to do, but they're not going to tell them they can't do that anymore. So they're doing what the state wants them to do, and what the locals are actually doing are completely different, and they've kind of agreed not to fight each other on it. A local designation here that we would have for properties that we consider valuable, that would be a benefit to the property owners, would be the Murphy-Cole's Gate. Okay, a Section 106 study was done by the state on that. I asked them to do it. They did it, and the state said that will never qualify for preservation. So they did their study, and they said, Jim, you're wrong. But the Murphy-Cole's Estate, the front gate, could be designated as a local landmark, and then when they rebuild the street, the state would have to give extreme deference to the property owners to preserve it if at all possible, instead of tearing it down and rebuilding it and moving it back a couple feet. So that's the advantage of a local designation, because local designation carries all the same weight as federal designation when it's by a certified local government. So that's where your power comes in, is that you can designate properties that are being threatened by the state highway department as locally important, and they have to give extreme deference to you. They have to really, they can still tear things down, but they have to jump through a lot of hoops, and they move the Section 106 study thing is a big deal. So they will move their highway, and they will make accommodations, move sidewalks, so as to not trigger the Section 106 controversy. So local designation is good. It's a good authority to have because it protects you from overbearing by the state highway department. But when it's happening to your, when it happens in a residential district, sometimes people get overzealous and they start saying you can't put in a certain type of window. We want wood windows instead of vinyl windows because they look better. And the guy says, well, I can only afford vinyl windows. Mm-hmm. So on a residential standpoint, the local designation is onerous, and it should be voluntary, just like Green Bay has a voluntary. You come before the committee, you say what you want to do, they'll make suggestions, but you get to do what you want to do. So theirs is, City of Green Bay's is very good. Theirs is voluntary. Nobody really does the mandatory thing because it's a hornet's nest. Nobody wants to be regulated when you're changing your windows, changing your front porch, you know, putting in new gutters, new window, new roof lines. So that's what the local designation does. Is that's where all the controversy comes in, and that's where all the what they call teeth in an ordinance. That's where all the teeth are. Mm-hmm. Local people don't like being regulated by ordinances with a lot of teeth, mm-hmm. But it is helpful if you have something unique that doesn't qualify for the state preservation. The brewery where Shank's building is now, okay, that's the old Hograve Brewery that was built in the 1850s and then updated up to about 1900. That doesn't qualify because they got new windows in there and they're missing a porch. But that would be an appropriate one for this committee to identify as a locally designated property when they're putting the road in, so those property owners have a little bit more rights and protections from the state DOT. So that's where the power comes in. The CLG and the local designation has actually more authority, better authority, than the federal designation.
Thanks, Jim. I should have a motion to return the rules.
So moved.
Second? Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Yeah. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, fine. We'll back in session. What do we think?
I guess I'll say that there's good and bad to doing it both ways. I guess my thought would be to not have the national and state properties not be automatically locally designated the way I prefer the amendments that have been proposed. And then if the committee wants, you know, they can come back. We can come back and locally designate and talk to those people and see if there is interest and have them really understand that the certificate of appropriateness process. It is a voluntary, generally you want it to be more voluntary, otherwise it leaves a bad taste of historic preservation in people's mouths, I found. And we don't want to give that a bad name. We want to do some good. And usually with these committees, you know, there's other activities that help promote historic preservation. If it's, you know, different recognition awards for people who've done good work just on their own, or recognizing or, you know, motivating people to consider locally designating properties. That's my opinion. It's not necessarily the right one. I just don't want to cause problems that would maybe completely eliminate historic preservation. You know, one of the issues that with like the raising of buildings, I think I created a raising ordinance. It was actually for the whole community. So anytime there was somebody came in to get a raising permit because they needed one from the building inspector to raise a building, then one of the checkoffs, you know, might be like utilities. You know, you got to go to utilities and make sure you disconnect all your utilities. And then another one was historic preservation. And then, you know, I take a look and say, oh, okay, that address, is it listed in our architectural and historic inventory? You know, if it wasn't listed, then it's like, yeah, fine, go ahead, raise it. We really don't. There's no historical record. But then if there was, you know, then you could hold a hearing. Just something.
In writing these ordinances, we did take into consideration that we wanted to be a guiding force. If you look at 424-6C2, it says that the committee shall approve the application for a certificate of appropriateness unless it meets one of the few criteria that we want to say, hey, we want to time out. So it's just an opportunity to call that time out when we're about to lose a monument in the village. like the Chancery or some of the districts, if it's starting to now become no longer a district because too many houses are changing. We wrote into the ordinances that the certificate of appropriateness would be approved unless it met certain criteria that called for that timeout.
I think I'm okay with all the language relating to what you were just talking about, the certificate of appropriateness and for locally designated. I just want to make sure we have something in there that clearly states that properties or districts on the state or national register can only be impacted by this ordinance if they choose to be locally designated or something to that effect. And if we have that in there, then we can point anybody who has a question thinking, oh, geez, I'm in the Miramar district, now it says this, and we can say, well, but look, here's where it says,
but
you even, don't have to worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, even though you're in a district, you can still do anything you want,
sure.
pretty much,
yeah, yeah.
unless you're applying for tax credit.
Yeah, and that's what everybody's been told so far. Maybe we need this for the purposes that you, you know, for the reason that the committee was established, the way you were saying, right? But maybe we just need to make sure that it's clear that it doesn't have to impact anyone who owns a home in a state or national registered district.
And I think it's getting, this is getting overthought. I mean, I almost think it's fine just the way it is. And I think it's getting read what's really not in it. I mean,
kind of think the same way. I'd rather talk to somebody about why or why not, why it applies or why it doesn't apply on a case-by-case basis
right.
rather than try and reinvent this document.
Well, then I think we're saying that we should leave it the way it is.
Yeah. That's an option.
Leave it the way it is.
That's an option that we just kind of put on the table. You know.
Because I think going back to the history of it, that was the intent of it.
It helps to have that
if
history.
If that's the history, you know, if there wasn't I thought this was out here forever.
No.
It was placed here for a reason.
The group is only 6 years old, going on 7.
Yeah. So there truly isn't policy behind this as to why it's why the committee was.
I think we understand that more now, having heard and Bobby and having discussed and thought about it and scribbled all over. Maybe somebody else did. I scribbled all over. Well, I'm trying to overthink it, like you were saying. So, are we okay with not making any change at this point?
I think at this point it should be left alone. And if it, you know, if down the road it runs into a problem, we can review it at that time. You know, and then make the necessary changes. But else, I think it should be left.
It's too hard to make just one or two changes without changing more things.
Right.
And
I don't think.
I mean, if one case pops up and it really becomes a problem, you know, we can review it and
let's deal with it then.
And deal with it then. Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Are you comfortable with? How about you? Is everybody okay with not making a change at this time?
I am.
Maybe we should just take an action on it.
We haven't. This is an action item. So
I make a motion to leave the ordinance of Chapter 424, Landmarks and Historic Preservation. Wording as is.
I'll second that motion.
And do you want to just say unless, you know,
revisit it if something pops up in it, you know, somebody brings to our attention that something's happening because of the way that it's worded and they're running into some difficulties, we'll review it then.
Okay. Yeah. And that way we have a record.
Yeah,
right.
If necessary.
Right.
Yeah. So we have a motion.
I mean, we're not here to cause problems to be too strict on something. I mean, we're here because the reason why the committee was established, and that's why I'm here. So.
Any other discussion on the motion? We have a motion and a second. With no other discussion, then all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Whatever you say.
So we have 4 ayes and 1 nay for the record. Do you have that, Trevor?
I'll listen to it.
We could pull a committee or we could.
That's only You can do a roll call if you want, but otherwise 4-1 is
okay.
How it reads.
That's fine. Okay, next agenda item is next meeting date and agenda items. Does anybody feel like we want to discuss this anymore or at another time next month, or do you want to wait until the opportunity presents itself or the circumstance presents itself that where we can? I'm okay not revisiting it for a while. Okay. So when is our next meeting date?
February 22nd is the next scheduled one. However, I don't have anything else we might hear about the Robinson Hill.
Mm-hmm. I'll be in Florida that week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you can't.
Sorry.
You can't. Nobody leaves.
I can just always email the committee.
Yeah, if there's an update. Okay. So tentatively, the 22nd. And if something comes up that...
Right.
Otherwise, we'll wait for your email. Item number 8, adjournment. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
We're adjourned. Thank you. Thanks for pondering and explaining.